Well, God bless you. I know that you realize how important this subject is, else you wouldn't be here. Jesus Christ, our Passover. And we've been looking at some of the great truths and realities that make a difference in our life, a big difference. And a resource that a lot of the teachers have used, or a resource they have used, is Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Dr. Victor Paul Weirwell. So I encourage you to get a copy and have one in your library. It's a great resource. Dr. Weirwell says in the beginning, he says, to understand the significance of Jesus Christ as our Passover is to come face to face with God's magnificent plan for all ages. And I trust we're seeing through the previous teachings already that we're seeing quite a plan unfolding that God has been working through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to make available the greatest relationship ever devised. And that's a relationship with mankind, with the Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And a lot of great things we've been looking at, from Jesus Christ being chosen, the Passover lamb on the 10th of Nisan. We've talked about His examination, that He was examined like they examined the Passover lamb. He was also examined via the trials. We looked at His sufferings. And finally, it is finished. Jesus Christ gave His life, and that was it. But that's not the end of the story. A payment was made by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's one more aspect of this story that we need to talk about that makes all the difference in the world. And let me quote another section here. The greatness of Christianity lies in the fact that something special happened after Jesus died. Something occurred which had never happened to any other human being. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead to die no more. The angel announced, "He is risen." That truth resounds throughout all time. But did God stop with Jesus Christ's resurrection? No. But we're going to look at the significance of the resurrection in our lives. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see a great perspective here on how vital the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to our believing and our connection with God Almighty. So in chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, Corinthians is a reproof epistle here. Folks were not believing the truth. They were saying, hey, there's no resurrection. Jesus Christ didn't get raised from the dead. Well, here's a reproof to handle that situation. It goes on, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Pretty logical, right? And, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is what?
Vain.
Vain. It's empty. There's no substance to it. You are yet in your sins. No resurrection? You're still in your sins. Sorry, folks. That's it. no eternal life for you. That's the crucial point that's being made here, how important the resurrection is. And let me read that verse again. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and yet you are in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. People that are born again, believing that God raised him from the dead, but if that did not happen, they died, they will never get up. They will always be dust. Now, I know there's the great resurrection where everybody will account for their life, but that's down the road quite a bit. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, if we're preaching Christ is raised from the dead, and man, this is the way to go, and he's not been raised from the dead, wow, there's no substance. Everything's vain. Wow. But, there's that great word, but. My reading that section there in God's Word, and here it is, this great word, but. In contrast, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Praise the Lord, huh? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. The greatness of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. And verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. God is born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See how crucial the resurrection is? Without it, we have no being born again. The new birth realities, being sons of God, is not in existence without the resurrection. So we have been born again as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Man, this says, verse 3, blessed be the God. God is blessed. God is happy. He's excited that this arrangement has resolved in having kids. He's been looking forward to this since Adam and Eve blew it. Man fell. No spiritual relationship with mankind. Look what God gave up. Look at the price He paid. How would you like to watch your son get mutilated, beat up, and go through all kinds of ugly acts, and then die a most ignoble death that he did? How would you like to see that? Our father had to watch his son go through that. Then he had to wait 3 days and three nights, didn't he? Could you imagine, you know, he's buried, he's dead. You want to be with him. You want him to have that new body. Can't do it right now. He had to wait 72 hours, right? A patient heavenly father to do that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. God wants us to know the greatness of the resurrection. He wants us to see the significance of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and we'll see that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. There's some power involved in raising somebody that's dead and making them alive again. And then subsequently giving them a whole new body. A spiritual body. Man, oh man, an eternal spiritual body. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We fully identify with Jesus Christ, don't we? Boy, that's why God's word is written the way it is, so that we could identify, that we could put our place right in there with Jesus Christ. When he was selected as the Passover lamb, we were there. We were part of that. You know, when he was prepared, went through the trials, the examinations, we were there. When he died, when he suffered, we were there. When he died, we were there. When he was buried, we were there. But praise God, when he raised him from the dead, we were there too. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. Now, don't get too excited. Why not get excited? Man, we should be jumping on our tables here. Yeah. Mr. Excitement here, huh? Woo. Ephesians chapter 1. Man, what a privilege it is to know God's word and then to associate ourselves like this so that we can genuinely feel a part of all that God made available through his Son. And we were there, fully identified with him. So Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We're going to see several things that God wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened to. First of all is what? The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Some great stuff. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What a standard of power, right? Better than any nuclear bomb. We have a life-giving power, eternal life-giving power. Do you know you have the ability to raise somebody from the dead? You do. You have the power of the resurrection within you, and somebody dies, it's available to raise him from the dead. Man, oh man. That is life. What a wonderful power to have. Okay. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Not only did he raise him up from the dead, but he set him right at his right hand. Not somewhere out in the backyard, set him right to his right, right there, next to his dad, Jesus Christ and his dad. You know, I always enjoyed, I've got two sons and a daughter, and man, when my kids sit next to me, it's just so neat just to have them next to me, and God loves that. He set that up so he could have that kind of feeling too. To sit us at his own right hand. He set his son there, and we are set there too. Look at chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us. Sorry, no choice in that. He made us sit together, right? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Unbelievable. Fantastic power that we have. So, boy, can you see? Are you identifying yourself with what's going on here, right? From the start to the finish, resurrection, right hand of God. Wow. And that involves a whole new spiritual body that we're going to get. Oh my goodness, a fantastic new spiritual body that we're going to have that will be eternal. That we can talk with God. I don't know, we were talking just earlier this morning about, isn't it going to be neat to go up to Jesus Christ and say, hey brother, thank you very much for what you did. Thank you for dying for me and all my brothers and all your brothers and sisters. Man, isn't that going to be neat to do that? And we'll be able to do that without any sense of guilt, any sense of condemnation or anything ugly or bad that we might have done in our five senses. All this five senses crap is going to be burned up. And we'll continue to do a lot of crap in the future, right? And don't worry about it. We think, oh man, I've got all this crap here. And I got to, you know. But no, that gets burned up. So don't worry about it. Now ideally, the more we know this stuff, we have smaller and smaller crap in our life, right? My wife is going, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. Romans chapter 8. We better get into the Bible here. Hey, in Philippians it says dung. All right. Chapter 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, anything you do in the flesh, will it please God?
No.
Now, you know, some people, and you got to see this, in the flesh in the sense that it's not going to be a glory to God. We live in the flesh, we do wonderful things in the flesh that help move God's word, doesn't it? Or ministers to people's lives. So that's good. That's good. But the stuff that has no profit to God or anything, you know, God's not interested in that. It does not please Him. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Well, how do I know I'm in the Spirit? Well, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, how do I know I got the Spirit in me? I can't hear, taste, touch, smell Spirit. Manifestations, right? Boy, how many are there? Nine manifestations. What's the one that's just slam dunk? You know you got the Spirit in you. Speaking in tongues, right? Man, you speak in tongues, you know you got the Spirit within you. Wow. What a great... I tell you, when I first spoke in tongues and I knew I had Christ within, I had eternal life, that was the greatest day of my life. Man, to know that reality and then to be able to remind myself day in and day out as I speak in tongues, I know I belong to God. I know I'm His. It's just the greatest thing. Okay. Can't please God with the flesh. You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If so, the Spirit dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that something? Again, we're talking about that the power, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. We have that in us. We have that power, that ability to minister to people's lives from little coals to graveyard dead. We can help people, right? Bring them back to life. Yeah, praise the Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. The flesh we're going to live our life to, right? We're going to dedicate our life to our flesh. Is that what the word says?
No.
Therefore, brethren, as a result of the reality of the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, it doesn't say that we should be debtors to the spirit, does it? I don't know if that's a figure of speech of omission, but I sure got that point when I read that. I see that, man, I need to be a debtor to the spiritual matters. I need to be sold out to God and his Son to do what we need to do that God wants done. What does God want done in these days? All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants more kids. And not only does he want kids, he wants them to know the greatness of the power of Christ that they have within. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He wants us walking like this, right? What a great opportunity we have to walk in great power. Man, but I tell you what, it's going to take a little discipline. We got a debt, not to the world, but to God. If we want to have a debt, let's not forget our mortgage debt, but let's remember the debt we have to God Almighty. All right. There's a quote by Kenyon. I don't know if most of you are familiar with Kenyon. He says, a wonderful man of God some 80 years ago, I think he lived during that time, early 1900s, mid-1900s. I am convinced that the most outstanding enemy is a lack of knowledge of what we are in Christ and what he is in us, what he did for us, and our standing and legal rights before the throne. I think he's got a point there. But you know what? I think now a greater attack of the enemy is that we are being talked out of walking in the greatness of who we are in Christ. It's one thing to know it, okay? The next step is to, let's walk out on it. Let's live it. Let's be it. Let's don't have the spiritual realities be a Sunday thing. Let's have it be a every day of the week, 7/24. Why not? It's exciting. It's great. Man, oh man. God is teaching us to associate fully and completely with Jesus Christ. We identify with him and walk and act accordingly. You know why? Because we're a new creation in Christ. We were talking about this several weeks ago. Go to 2 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians. We're going to come back to chapter 6. If you want to leave something in there, we're going to come back to chapter 6 in Romans. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a quick review of this reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's a King James translation. It doesn't make too much sense there. But in meaning, it means therefore all died in him. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, is the better translation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are a new creation in Christ. That word new is kainos, which means new in quality. New in quality. It's new in the sense, in place of a thing that formerly was. All right? It's not a remodel or refixture. It's a whole new creation in Christ. That's who we are, a new creation in Christ. That's how special we are. Go to Romans, back here to Romans 6. Romans 6. We're going to look at a good part of this chapter. We'll be closing in this particular chapter. Romans 6. Chapter 1. What shall we say then? Romans 6, verse 1. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, we should be remembering now that we fully identify, right? We're fully identified. We've been baptized in his death. We've been raised with him, died with him, the whole nine yards. We're with him all the way. We're a new creation in Christ with him. Okay? So, therefore, we are, verse 4, did I read verse 3? Jesus Christ was baptized in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him. There's our identification again. By baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here it is. This is what we do. How do we live this today? How do we walk today as born again ones? It says so right there. Newness of life. We walk in newness of life. That word new there is a form of kainos, is kainotis. I might sound like a Greek scholar, but I'm not. You just say it real fast and it sounds okay, you know. Nobody knows the difference, right? Is there any Greek scholars in here? Yes. All right. But it's new in the sense that it's not, no part of the former is involved. It's a whole new thing here. So we walk a new life. It's a new life for us. You know, heck, maybe we have a bad day. Maybe we are living in the flesh today. But tomorrow's a new day. We have the opportunity to walk in newness of life all the time. And what's our concept of new? It's the spiritual realities of who we are in Christ as a son of God, our Father who loves us. He wants the best for us. You know, we talked about how he felt when Jesus Christ came up and finally was with him on his right hand. How do you think he feels having all of us there? And he's not afraid of crowds. He loves us. So, we want to walk in newness of life. We are a new creation. We are a new creation. So we want to walk in the power of that resurrection. Man, oh man. Let's read on here. Where are we at? Verse 5. Let's jump down to verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to let sin hold us back. We have forgiveness. I don't care what you've done in the past. That is forgiven. We move forward. No baggage with us, right? No baggage. We live by the forgiveness of our Father. He loves us. He forgives us and moves on as a parent. You know, if Susie puts too much garlic and onions into the eggplant salad, whatever it was we ate, that's okay. I'll forgive her. She's a great cook, by the way. She is. Wow. But boy, you get the point here. I mean, we got to walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. We don't want the adversary just telling us stuff of our past that will hold us back. Because that's not the word. It's a lie from hell, right? We're going to walk on the word, right? We're going to walk in newness of life. That's how we want to walk. So we're reckoning ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We're not going to let sin reign in our body. We're not going to let sin take charge, be king or queen in our body. No. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But, there's that word again, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. If you died right now, and a little later on, a wonderful saint raised, you know, believed, and God said, go for it, boom, you're alive again. How would you feel? Oh my, wouldn't you be excited? Oh, you'd be the most excited you could ever be. That's how we should be living our life. We wake up in the morning and here I am. Christ hasn't come back yet, so I can really live this thing. I can live for Christ. I can do what God has called me to do, to hold forth His words of life. What does it say in Philippians about holding forth the words of life? That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, right? Boy, oh boy, we don't want to labor in vain. We want to hold forth the words of life. We want to be instruments of righteousness. That's what it says here. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's how we want to live. But what I want to do now is to illustrate some of this to you. You know, some people are audio learners. You know, they hear somebody talk and they get it. For me, I'm more of a visual learner. So we're going to do a little visual here. And what I want to illustrate to you is this idea of walking in newness of life, and that we're instruments of righteousness. And when we do that, we've got to get a mindset that we are raised from the dead, we have a new life in Christ, and that we're seated at the right hand. And we have to live with that mindset there. Okay? Now, to show you this, I've asked God, alias Al. And Stephen, Jesus Christ, and two wonderful believers. One who really knows they're born again, but there's some great five senses things that's going on that, you know, have some priority in life. And then there's another believer that's kind of getting it, okay? So let's see what happens here when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. What goes on here, okay?
The third day and night have come. Now, my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased, you are risen. You are risen, Son. Come and sit at my right hand.
A great thing has been accomplished. I am the first fruit, but there's going to be more to come. They look for me, ultimately for you, Father.
You are finished.
Thank you.
Jesus, you're up. You're alive. Cool. I don't know if anybody else is going through this, but has anybody noticed the economy? It's in the toilet. And, I try not to think about it. Yeah. Okay, but it's really bad. It's affecting my job. I am low man on the totem pole. I have not been there that long, but I want to keep this job, and I just, they're talking about cut off, cut back. setbacks and layoffs and you know, I just go home and I work and I just deal with it all day and then I go home and I'm so stressed out and I just flip on the TV because, man, I just need some downtime. And I flip on the TV and I'm flipping and I'm flipping and I'm flipping and then I watch the reality shows and then I watch the news and the news. All this stuff is going on. It's so bad. I mean, and it's kind of depressing, and I kind of think about it, and man, I just kind of get all bummed out because it's so depressing. There's so many depressed people in the world, and it's kind of depressing. What are you gonna do? I am one person. What am I gonna do? I just gotta get through my day and get to the next day and try to, you know, I'm just a little fish swimming in a big old pond, okay? What are you going to do?
Do my children not know who they are and realize what they have because of what you've done?
Sometimes the world blinds them. She's still blind.
Father, Jesus, my Lord. I'm new. I'm a new creation. I'm totally healed. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. You're like raised from the dead. So am I. What can I do? Oh my gosh, I can't believe you actually did this for me. I am so not worthy. Is there anything I can do for you? Your love just has changed me from the inside out, and now I have a new body. What can I do for you? Oh, please let me share this with other people. What can I do? Can I make them whole too?
My son has set examples before you. Follow his ways. Follow the love that I have first given you, and you shall succeed.
Okay, Father, here I am. Send me. Send me to do something.
Thank you. Great. How are we going to live our lives? It's our choice. Are we going to recognize who we are in Christ and then maybe get sucked up into the world and roll with that? Or are we going to take on the world as born again ones, you know, as a new creation in Christ? That's what we want to do. You and I are a key part of God's magnificent plan of all ages. He has wanted us as his loving, functioning sons of God, doing his will and enjoying his promises. Our loving response, as we recognize and understand the significance of Jesus Christ, our Passover, is to walk in newness of life as a new creation in Christ. We identify with the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are living on resurrection ground. You ever heard of that term? Living on resurrection ground. So let's move our minds there, our thinking there, our confessions there, but don't pack up your worldly unforgiveness, your hate, worry, and discontent. Drop them off and move on up to who you are in Christ. And let me close in Jesus Christ, our Passover. One of the latter things here.